Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career, so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.
Welcome to the Julia and Gino podcast, where business meets family. We explore what the entrepreneurial life looks like from a family perspective. We are your hosts, Julia and Gino Barbaro. Hey everyone, this is Julia Barbaro, host of the Julia and Gino podcast. I'm here with the co-founder of Jake and Gino, my husband and co-host, Gino Barbaro.
Hey Julia, how you doing?
Hey, I am amazing.
I know you're amazing, but how are you doing?
Great.
That's the only compliment you're getting on this show, so you better enjoy it right now because it's all downhill from here. What are we talking about
today? I'm a little nervous because I had this idea and he's like, wait, what are we talking about? So I'm not sure where that's going to go, but I'm excited to talk about it. It's something that I've been thinking about lately and really just, you know, looking into, you know, online and researching and just, you know, thinking about in general. And it's that, you know, we tend to, without even realizing it, we tend to have this rule book or this manual of how everyone else in our life is supposed to act, is supposed to, how they're supposed to talk, how they're supposed to treat me, to the point where if they don't do it properly, we get irritated. And this really is those people directly in our life, whether it's our spouse, our children, our parents, it's the people that we love and we know the best.
I was listening to Tony Robbins. It was one of those CDs that I've had for like 30 years. And he was talking about this specific topic. And when people feel love from somebody, that person is doing something to make that other person feel loved. You're feeling a need, whether the way they talk to you, whether it's you're fulfilling, as Dr. Gary Chapman says, go back and listen to the podcast we had with Dr. Chapman on the five love languages. They're fulfilling one of those love languages of ours. And to be conscious, to be aware of it, I think you should know that that person is doing something that's fulfilling your need.
Well, you mentioned the five love languages, which I think is amazing. And like Gino said, check the podcast out with Dr. Gary Chapman. But one of the things about that is we shouldn't be using the love languages with our, especially with our spouse, as a weapon. We should be using it as a tool to learn about each other and about ourselves. Because for instance, you know, one of the things I do love is gifts. I like when you buy me gifts, but sometimes you buy me something and I'm like, ooh, that's not something I would have picked out. Do you know what I mean?
It's annoying, actually. It's like I'm trying to win.
Different taste.
It's such an annoying. This is the person I'm talking. She wants a personal shopper, everybody. So could you imagine? She doesn't even know what she wants. How am I supposed to figure that out? I should get an A for effort, at least, if else.
That's what we're here talking about, is in my mind, you should buy the perfect present for me. And I don't even know what that is. And so I get frustrated and I get irritated. And it's funny. So that's what I mean, is that it's one of those things where, yes, we're using the love languages as a tool, not as, I can't believe that's what you bought me. I can't believe, you know, that's the words you use to give me some, you know, if my love language is words of affirmation, really that's what you chose. Here's what I think that you should have told me. Here's what I think you should have said. And so when we do that, what we're doing is basically telling the person, you know, I Gino, that's great that you got me a gift, but you didn't do a good job. And it's really putting that person down instead of saying, wow, he took some time out, thought about it, went out, found something, or he took some time to really, from his own perspective, gave me some words of affirmation. It's coming from him. It's kind of like we have this control over everyone in our life by telling them what they should do, how they should do it. And it's one of those things where it's very freeing. And I have to remind myself very often to let go of that, to let go of the control we think we have over another person as far as how they should buy us gifts, how they should talk to us. Of course, we're not talking about like respectful. We should, of course, be respectful and with our children, be respectful and teach them all of that. But, you know, I'm going to just be honest and you can talk about it. But, you know, when you talk to the kids, sometimes you expect something in your mind and they're not doing it. And then there's frustration.
So let me backtrack what you're saying so I can understand this. Are you saying that I should not be dependent upon somebody else to make me happy?
Yes.
And I think that's very hard for a lot of us because we're expecting other people to give us happiness or items or something else like that. This is a good show. I mean, I would just stop and have everyone reflect for a second and think about that for a second, because you need to be conscious. You need to be aware that you're even doing it. The vast majority of us aren't even aware we're doing it. Then we get enlightened and we listen to the five love languages and we learn what they are. And then we use them as a manipulation or as trying to manipulate that person into doing what we want. So I want something from Julia. So I'm going to go out and buy her this great gift instead of saying, I just want to do it because I want her to be happy. And, you know, the sales realm has gotten a bad rap on that, where salesmen and saleswomen use these tactics of manipulation to sell a product. You can use them that way, like neurolinguistic programming, or you can use them really ethically to have somebody do something because you know it's in their best interest to buy this product or do this. So it's the same thing as this. I mean, I challenge you, if you're listening to this, are you expecting other people to make you happy? Are you deriving that? Are you expecting them to say something to you and that'll make you feel happy? Because if you are, it's going to be a tough life. If you are.
Yeah. And I think that's, we might've talked about this in an early podcast, where when we get into marriage, and I know many, many people, including myself, you get into a marriage thinking, wow, this guy is going to make me happy. And everything's great until the day he disappoints you or does something that he doesn't even know that he did wrong. And you feel unworthy, or, you know, you feel like he wasn't grateful. All those little things that we feel by the, one of the things that they did, and I thought you were supposed to make me happy in life, and I'm not happy. What happens is one after another, they all add up. And eventually you're like, yeah, this marriage is not working because you're not making me happy. And it's those, that moment where we have to realize, like Gino said, once we stop controlling or thinking we're controlling that other person, now we're going to focus on ourselves. And I think a lot of us avoid focusing on ourselves because it's really hard. And it's, you know, we're trying to better ourselves. And I know everyone listening to this, we're all trying to better ourselves and we're all learning the process. And even when we learn it, we forget it and we have to relearn it again, but it's easier the second time. But this is super important because, you know, we say to ourselves, well, if, you know, if my husband did one thing that in my mind would make me happy, well, why can't I just be happy without him doing it? It's a challenge, but we can do it. You know, he doesn't have to get me flowers for me to know that he appreciates me. Let's be honest. I mean, you can still get them. I'm not going to take that from you, but I should know that he appreciates me. And even better, I should appreciate myself and I should value myself and I should know that I'm worth it, because that's the challenge. And if we could do that, then our life is so much more simple and it's so much easier. And our relationships are better because we're not relying on that person to follow our rule book for them.
So early on in their marriage, I figured I'm going to work, I'm providing, actions speak louder than words. She stays home, she's with the kids, that's her gig, my gig, and we should be happy with each other. We don't need to say, you're doing a great job. That was just my short-sightedness, my immaturity. I wasn't, you know, growing as a person. And I think as you grow, you can incorporate a lot of this stuff into it. And you know, you ask, if you don't know, ask your spouse, and how can I make this relationship happier? How can I empower you? And I think for us, you know, early on, it was more difficult because I worked a lot of hours and I just thought, you know what? I'm the provider. I'm the person who's going out. I'm making the money. What more do you want me to do? There's more to life than just that, obviously. And you had asked about the questions about the children, and it's very hard as a parent. Because, you know, we have six kids. If you have one child or two children, whatever the number is, they're all so different and you expect so much of them. And our older children, now that they're older, we parented them a different way. And now the younger kids are like, well, that's not fair. And the older kids are like, that's not fair. And it's very difficult. And you just want to try to teach your kids the right way. So we have one of our daughters who's so stubborn. She's so tough. And it's just like, I'm speaking to my wife 30 years ago. It's like my wife.
Time out. It's me, but she got
time out.
The toughest part from both of us. Cause my husband, when he was little, I hear stories and I see the little boy coming out of him sometimes.
But she looks like you.
So what? She's a little me, but she acts like you. Super stubborn, has to get the last word in. All of that. And so that's my point, is we talk to her, we try to, and we fail many times, but we talk to her just the same as everyone else. And it doesn't work like that. We say, Veronica, you have to act like this. This is how you have to be in order for you to be loved by us. Here's how you have to talk in order to be loved. Here's when, you know, you sit at the table and a lot of things irritate us about everybody, right? But here we are, we're telling them how you are right now is not okay. So here's how you have to act. Here's what you have to say. Here are the words you have to express to us. You know what I mean? You have to say these words in order for us to love you. And it gives this message to the kids that are like, well, not sure how to be themselves. We don't allow people to be themselves because we're telling them constantly how to be. And it's that the moment, like I said, when we let go of that control and we allow the person to just be them, you know, and I don't mean when we have kids, just let them do whatever, because we do have to guide them and there has to be consequences if they act up, of course, but there has to be a balance of also letting them be themselves.
I think it's individuality as well. They're all individuals and you need to let them grow. But like you said, you need to put boundaries. Absolutely. As they get older, they have different boundaries. And some kids need to be parented a little bit stricter than other kids. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a difficult act. And that's what you want. You, when you're parenting your children, they're all individual and they're all going to be unique and different, Joel.
And Gino, I mean, you're different and unique. And I think that's important that as we focus on not the irritating things that bother us about the person, you know, maybe, you know, I'm not going to, I feel like I'm really down on you today with the gift giving, but you know, here's the person. I remember one time, this was probably about 6 years ago. We were living in New York and you were so frustrated. You always get so frustrated with Christmas because you never knew what to get me. You'd wait till like the 3 days before and you're working constantly and you get frustrated. So I actually texted you a link to something that I liked, or two links. I was kind of giving you an option and you bought it. You bought both of them. I don't know if you remember this. It was a watch and some kind of piece of jewelry. And when you gave them to me, I'm looking at it. I'm like, well, this is from me. Like I picked this out. And it's funny that I always complain about what you would get me because it wasn't what I wanted. But yet when you got me what I wanted, I'm like, but it's not from you. It was so, it's such an eye opener for me. I know you don't remember, but I thought, my gosh, I'll take anything that he gets me from now on because it's from him. And that's the thing. When we wear something from another person, we remember that person. That's really what a gift is. It's not so much, you know, does it look nice on me? It's that you remember that person, especially, you know, years and years later, maybe someone passes away and you still have that gift. And that's what it's for, you know? And I think that what we're thinking about sometimes is skewed a little bit on how we're looking for love from other people. We're just trying to cover ourselves and not get to the root of it. Is that, what do I think about myself? Do I think I'm valued? Do I think I'm worth it? Like I said in the beginning.
Answer this question. What do you get somebody who has everything, who needs nothing?
Time.
Okay.
I just saved
myself a lot of money in this podcast. I mean, time is money, but you know what? I might as well spend it with you instead of spending it with somebody else. So no more gift giving, no more rings, no more.
So we're not going there for a second. But that's the thing. If something, a present is going to make you happy, go out and buy it. Go get it yourself.
It's just appreciation. Yes. Though, so that's the thing. Like you said,
but use it. And I like the five love languages as a tool to say, okay, what is it that I really love? What is it that my husband really loves? But I don't want to use it as, if you do it wrong, then we have a problem.
But you have to understand that concept, because it's very hard for most people to even be conscious of that.
Well, that's my point. In the beginning, like we said, we're not aware of it. We're not aware that we have these manuals, these rule books for everyone in our life. You know, even like sometimes to the point where you hear their voice and it irritates you. It's like, what is that about? Mm-hmm. You know, it's the way they answer the phone or it's like, hold on a second. Why am I so in control of how they are as a person? And it is freeing to let go of that control and let them be the person they are, because we're not in control anyway. All we're doing is stressing ourselves out and it's not leading to a healthy relationship.
So what are the steps? What are some of the rules that people can do for this?
Well, the steps, like I said initially, is be aware. Start being aware of everyone in your life. And it's usually just the close people. You know, you could talk about with, you know, businesses as well, but that's a little different because, you know, especially as a boss, here are your tasks and here's how I expect to do them. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a personal relationship, which can be with your staff as well, but this is different. Be aware of every time you say to a person, no, you have to do it this way. Or you're telling yourself, if my husband doesn't do it this way, I'm not going to be happy. Here's what I'm expecting you. Now we can talk about that. We can be like, Gino, you know, I really expect when you talk to me, you know, I would love for you to say certain things, you know, maybe express that, but they decide what they want to say because it's coming from their heart. And I think that's important, is that we put so much pressure on our, especially on our spouses of what will make us happy, but we got to figure out and ask ourselves, well, if we did get those things, would we be happy? Or would we be like me years ago when I got it? And I realized that that's not what I was looking for. And I have to be happy myself. And I have to make myself happy by choosing to be.
So the first one is to be aware. I think the next one for me, as you're talking, is don't assume, don't make any assumptions. That's a big one, because when you start making assumptions of what that person's thinking, you're incorrect, which leads to the communication. You need to be able to communicate. And that's where you have the breakup of families, the breakup of businesses, the breakup of culture, where you're not communicating with your spouse, really communicating and talking about the topic. Well, you know, why don't you like my gifts? And that why question is more of a judgmental question. So you don't want to use the why question. So that leads me to the next bullet point, would be to start asking empowering questions. Open-ended, thought-provoking questions, like Julia said. You know, what would, the who, what, you know, where, when, you know, those kinds of questions that are open-ended, that don't just have a yes and no answer. And I think the next one, we did a podcast on listening. I think listening is such an undervalued skill that most of us don't do. There's three types of the listening. Remember the subjective, the active, and the third one is intuitive. Most of us are in subjective. We're really listening, but we're not. We're working out at the gym. We're not really listening to it. Active is you're listening to somebody and you're locked in. But the intuitive one, that high level one, is you're really listening to that person. You're watching their body language. You're really locked in. You're paying attention to that person. So you got to be aware. Don't assume. Communicate. Ask great questions. And to me, the listening part is really, really important. And if nothing else, as you get older, you get wiser. You talk a lot less and you let everyone talk first. You let your spouse talk first.
I feel like I talk more now.
You do. And I talk less. That's right. That's okay. I mean, that's all right. I mean, because I'm as the leader of the household, you try not to overreact. You want to get all of the facts first. You want to make sure that everyone is heard and have their opinions heard. And then you can have the ability to respond.
Yeah.
So what I'm hearing is, are you sure what I'm hearing?
No, it goes back to responsibility. And I think that is the key here, is responsibility of what we're telling ourselves, what we're listening to. Sometimes our thoughts they fester a little too long. And like Gino said, we assume what's going on the other end. And a lot of times I just have to sit with my thoughts for a second, maybe even write them down and say, why am I feeling like this? Because my husband did get me the best gift. What's about that? What am I feeling about that? Oh, wow. I'm thinking that he doesn't think that I'm worth it, let's say. And so you focus on that. Okay, well, am I worth it? Yes, I'm worth it. And so I just debunked what I was thinking. And therefore, I could change what I'm going to do next, which is nothing. I'm going to say thank you for this beautiful gift. Because our responsibility to our thoughts and our actions are important. And that's why we wrote the cannoli series, is because it's a conversation that we have with our children about responsibility and about that each person is so unique. Let them be unique. You know, I don't want to control everyone. I don't want these robots in my life to do exactly what I want and how I want it and to make me feel a certain way. I want to feel that on my own. I want to be responsible for my own self. And if we stop being in control or stop thinking that we're in control of other people, it's that moment now where I'm just asking all of you is just to start thinking and being aware of your own thoughts, you know, maybe for the first time, because it is different. We've never done it before. But that responsibility is huge.
So what is it? Your thoughts lead to your beliefs, which lead to your actions, which lead to your results. Mm-hmm. So those thoughts are really powerful. And then if you have a belief.
Well, it's even before that, you know, it's the thoughts. What brought the thought on? It's the circumstance. What are the facts about the circumstance? Bring on your thoughts, which produce what? Your feelings, which generate your actions. And end up with your results.
Mm-hmm. And I would say what you said about setting with your emotions, or your feelings, that's hard for most of us because we don't really sit with that. We really shut that down. And most of us don't want to work on that. Well, why when she said something to me that really make me really annoy me? What my wife says to me is a lot. You're sensitive. I just despise when she says that. This is like, I hate that. Well, why should I hate that when she says that? And you know, ironically enough, she's just as sensitive as me. That's the thing that annoys me.
You always think that I'm like, I think that I'm perfect mother.
I'm not saying you. I'm just saying that's
here's the question. I have a question. When I say to you, you're sensitive, what do you think?
That's the pot calling the kettle black over here. You're calling me sensitive.
What are you thinking about?
What
are your thoughts? What are your feelings?
It's just annoying.
Okay, what are your feelings? That
my feelings annoying. I'm like,
okay,
I'm
so you're annoyed.
Yes.
Because I thought you were sensitive. But here's my question. Are you sensitive? Would you say that you're...
At certain times, yes.
Okay.
But you overuse it too often. That's what bothers me.
So what if you focus on the sensitive times and then on the other parts, you're like, no, I have that. So what do you think? Like 2080?
I have no idea. I'm not Pareto right now, so I'm not sure.
Well, Mike,
for those of you out there, it's the Pareto principle. 20% of your actions, do 80% of the I'm learning.
Because my when somebody says something to me, criticism wise, in the moment, usually you're very emotional and you just like, I'm not sensitive. But a lot of times I sit back and I'm like, am I sensitive? And then I think about when I have been sensitive, maybe in this particular moment. And I think, okay, what can I do? What can I do not to be like that? What can I do to be, you know, to respond better? And that's how we grow. Because when we get criticism from people, it stings a little bit, doesn't it? But we could choose something. We can get irritated at the person and tell you stop saying that. Or you can be like, you know what? You mentioned I was sensitive and you're right. In that situation I was, and here's what I'm going to do differently.
It also depends who it comes from also. I mean,
and how it's
yes.
related, but that shouldn't affect you.
But I mean, we're human. If somebody's criticizing me and has no credibility and has no idea what they're talking about, well, then that's really different. That's what I'm talking about. So
yes, sure.
That's the other thing. Yeah. And also family is another thing. I mean, your family. Well,
you have a whole emotional background.
And that's what I'm talking about. Yes.
But you can work on that slowly. And I think it's important for our growth to work on these things slowly, because otherwise they build up to the point, like I said before. These people answer the phone and you're already irritated. You're irritated by the way they answer the phone. And so we have to start small sometimes. Sometimes we have to answer the phone and be like, wow, you know, I'm happy to hear from you. Little by little. Because I mean, there's some deep wounds in some relationships. And maybe we need to start small in it, and that's okay.
So before we sign off, what are the next steps that and listeners out there can start working on? I think for me personally, as you gather your thoughts, I would say just be conscious and be aware of the emotions and those feelings that come up, because feelings are powerful. I mean, emotions will, if you have a high level of emotion in your life, you're going to really have an amazing life. But if your emotions are low, negative, catabolic, they're draining, your quality of your life is not going to be as good. Trust me. So when you work on your emotions, sit with them and see where they're coming from. See how they're either empowering you or how they're holding you back. When you're positive, you're enlightened. You just want to do so much. You just so much energy. So be aware of that. And the other thing is communication aspect of it. You know, if you don't know, just ask a genuine question. Am I understanding this that way?
Yeah. I mean, I always love to write things down, because a lot of times our thoughts kind of get stuck in our head and we replay them over and over again, and then they become reality. So I do like to write, if I'm having a feeling or if I'm having something, I write the feeling down. And then I write like, well, what thought led me to that feeling? Like, what was it? What happened there? And then there was always some kind of circumstance, you know, whether someone said something to you, write that down, but only the facts of that, because we just want to know the facts of the circumstance. Sometimes we give too much information. We kind of keep it simple. And then, you know, from that, what is your action? What was your action? You know, when we've already gone through something, it's easy to reflect on it. You know, maybe you could have switched the action up with something else. And so I always like to write down the situation and then write on the other side what I could have done differently and how I could have responded better, and how my results would have been at the end, what I would have learned. So there's so much about writing something down, because sometimes when it's in our head and it's up there, and it literally it's more distracting than we think, because we're trying to do other things. We're trying to work, we're trying to take care of people, you know, and it's in our head and we don't realize that we need to declutter that. And so if we write it down, then our brain, it's almost like a, you know, sigh of relief, because now it's out and we can read it and we could take care of it. So it's like an action.
The great Stephen Covey says, people see the world as they are, not as it is. So when you're having somebody, you're working through that handbook that my wife is talking about, you're dealing with a person, they see it one way, you may see it another way. The only way something changes is if you change or if that person changes. So it's incumbent upon you. You're listening to the podcast, your growth mindset. You want to work on yourself. You want to challenge yourself. So how do things change? You have to change. You have to grow. You have to see the world in a different light. You have to change the paradigm or the map that Stephen Covey talks about. Just, we both want to really thank you for, you know, spending a few minutes with us today and the privilege of your time. And we have an offer, November 5th and 6th, big event. This is our yearly event for Jake and Gino. It's in Orlando, Multifamily Mastery 5. You're going to see a link in the show notes. They're still in early bird pricing out there. We had 900 attendees last year. We're going to have over 1,000 this year. We're going to have some amazing speakers there. We're going to be on a panel. We're going to be discussing our relationship and how spouses can work together. It's important. It's important because people say to themselves, oh, you can't work together. I'm married. Yes, you can. That's a limiting belief. That's how they see the world, that through that lens. And I think if more families work together, more families stayed together, it would just be an amazing testament to business and to family. So jakeandgino.com/MM5. Any final words?
No, I do. I also want to thank you because I know there's always someone out there that needs to hear what we're talking about because, you know, I find my information online and I'm so thankful for all those other people out there that are sharing their message. And then it comes to me and then it comes to you and you're going to share it with somebody else. It's just amazing how the world is. And, you know, go out there. And like I said, it's just little steps. Sometimes we try to change ourselves overnight and we're so excited by it. And by day two, we're exhausted and really forget it. This isn't working. Small steps, just be aware, start being aware of your thoughts. And I think it's just one big step. It's huge, actually.
Thanks, everyone.
Yeah.
Once again, let's go out there. Let's make it happen.
Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.